Very purifying, huh? Sacred sound vibration is very purifying. So the topic I would like to speak about to connect what we're doing today with the theme of the weekend, Say Yes to Krishna, is say yes to Krishna. In the form of Krishna's name and in the form of sacred sound vibration. So we'll start with, for those that have not experienced initiation ceremony, what's going on here? What's going on here is a ceremony where there's formal submission unto the disciplic succession and Krishna, and formal acceptance by Krishna and the disciplic succession of someone who is on the path of devotion to Krishna, and over some period of time they have examined the bhakti process and they wish to be formally accepted by Krishna. This is the procedure for that formal acceptance. It's something like getting a diploma from a university, having completed some studies or something like that, a certificate of acceptance by the universe, not just the applying and you're now you're a student. It's the ceremony that you're officially accepted. So, for those of you that are from India, you know about the term Gotra. Gotra indicates the family in which you're born. And there's a lineage of that Gotra. And you accept not only a first name, second name, but you're part of a Gotra, a lineage. And that's with the birth of the body. Then Dvija, or the second birth, Ja indicating birth, Dvija is second birth. It's the formal acceptance by Krishna, and then you give up your previous gotra, but you accept a transcendental gotra. Prabhupada's explanation is achyuta gotra. Achyuta meaning Krishna. The gotra of Krishna. You become part of Krishna's family. If you remember, I've been repeating it several times, so probably you're tired of hearing it. But from the first day, that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says to Sanatana Goswami, one who takes full shelter of me, I then accept that surrendered soul as an intimate associate of mine. Intimate associate of mine. So we're remote. Not yet intimate associates of Krishna, but we're accepted as part of Krishna's family. And that's a big deal. Because actually, we're all part of and parcel of Krishna. Unfortunately, not only we forgot, that's the consequence of the greatest misfortune, we turned our back. And it wasn't even a polite goodbye. We just turned our back and walked into a dark place looking for happiness, leaving our real happiness, looking for a non-existent happiness. The happiness of separate from Krishna happiness doesn't exist. Something like an image in a mirror looks like the object that is reflected in the mirror, but there's no substance in that reflection. Exactly the metaphor given in chapter 15, Bhagavad Gita. This material The material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Perverted reflection in the sense that it's distorted. It's not the real thing, and it's a distorted version of the real thing. It's like mirrors that are, you know, the House of Mirrors. I've never been there, but I've heard about it. Mirrors that make you look really tall, or make you look really short, or make you look wavy, or make you look fat, or make you look skinny, or practically, you know, it's just the reflection. It's not you. It's just the reflection. Or on the surface of water, if there's wind on the surface of water, then there's ripples. And so something may be reflected in the water, but it's a distorted reflection of the object. The mind. Sometimes the mind gets disturbed. Sometimes. Like a flame where there's wind and the flame is flickering because of the wind. Sometimes it goes out, but flickering. Chanchala hi mana. Krishna Arjun says, the mind is chanchala, flickering. Krishna says, yes, the mind is flickering. But somehow we're meant to bring the mind to an unflickering position, to the shelter of Krishna position. As mentioned, when we're chanting japa, it's really nice. It's very simple. It's us and then the name and the mind. And sometimes it's a battle. And sometimes it's nice. And we're meant to come to the position where it's nice. Just being with Krishna is nice. And we don't need something else because we're with Krishna, because we're fully satisfied being with Krishna. So initiation means recognizing that Krishna, and through the agency of the disciplic succession representing Krishna, one is accepted as part of Krishna's family. That's a big deal. And it's a beginning. That's why it's called initiation. It's not perfection. And that beginning means that one must continue and continue and continue and continue. As we've been discussing, the bottomless ocean of surrender, of saying yes to Krishna, of humility, of all good Vaishnava qualities that Krishna, by his own volition, may decorate his devotee with, nice qualities. So that's what we're doing here today. This is the formal acceptance by Krishna through disciplic succession, accepting the submission. Bhaktisiddhanta teaches that the essence, there's a transcription, or a transcription of a lecture that he gave. How did they have a transcription? Because they didn't have recording devices then. Anyway, transcription of a lecture that he gave at initiation, and he explained the essence of initiation is these two things, submission and acceptance. From the devotee's side, submission. And from Krishna's side, acceptance. And he goes on to say that the experience, apparently it was a large initiation, the experience for each initiate will be different depending upon the degree of submission. And then he goes on to say that submission needs to be continued, because if submission slackens, then the connection becomes weak. And when the connection becomes weak, then material tendencies kick in again. Because it's not that you submit to Krishna and there's never again attraction for matter. The tendency for attraction for matter lingers a long time. Eventually, the bhakti process can take it away. Not only take it away, but take the subtle body. Dissolve false ego. That's a celebration. Dissolve the material mind. Yay! Dissolve material intelligence and be just situated in one's spiritual identity, in one's relationship with Krishna. That's, bhakti has that power. Bhakti alone has that power. So chanting of the holy name is association with Krishna directly. So that's the first, what we're doing, now the message in relation to what we're doing, along the theme, the say yes to Krishna part, a very important part, I'll say it a few times just so it, by emphasis, it maybe it'll stick. One of the most important parts of the process of chanting effectively is recognizing that the name and the object named Krishna and his name, the person Krishna and the name Krishna, are literally non-different. There's a nice verse from Padma Purana that says that. Namachintamani Krishnas Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Purnashuddho Nitya Mukto. Then this last line. Abhinatvam Nama Namino. Nama Namino. The name and the object named. It's grammatical. Name and the object named are non-different. Abhina. Bina and abhina. Different and non-different. Abhinatvam. Tvam is having the quality of non-difference between the name and the object named, or in this case, the person, Krishna. So, probably all of us, without exception, we're chanting. And when chanting, we're accustomed to two things, minimally. We're accustomed to being doers. You know what I mean? Karta aham. I'm the doer. Well, I'm going to do it. We've learned it since we were kids. I'm going to, whatever. I'm going to take this course and I'm going to do really well in the course. I'm going to take up this sport and do really well in this sport. I'm going to learn Mridanga and become really good. I'm going to do it. So that we're very familiar with that territory of doership. And the process of bhakti is to let go of that notion of I'm going to do it. Instead, take up the position of the subordinate servant of Krishna and let me act in my relationship as the subordinate servant of Krishna. But to do that, I require mercy. So there's we make endeavor, this is our scriptures teaching us, we make some endeavor, abhyasa, we make some endeavor, but the endeavor is not going to be successful without mercy. We've been discussing this. Anukulyena Krishna Anushilana. The Anushilana is the effort we cultivate, but we're dependent completely upon the object that we're endeavoring to connect with, because otherwise on our own we can't do it. We can't bring our mind to the position of steadiness upon Krishna. And we can all chant. Anyone can chant. But the effectiveness of that chanting is only going to be accomplished if we avoid offenses. Now I'm going to speak a little bit about, because Prabhupada would usually, when performing initiation, speak about offenses. I'm just going to speak a little bit. Consider carefully, I invite you, please, consider carefully the 10 offenses, and you will find that each of the 10 offenses has something to do with considering that which is spiritual to be not spiritual. Looking at something spiritual through a material lens. And the offense is using the material lens to see something spiritual. It's not only not right, according to our scriptures, it's an offense. We want to avoid it, but gee whiz, we're not there yet. We don't have that clarity and purity And therefore, the clearing stage is carefully guarding against those things. So it's advised for those who are initiated, and particularly for this morning for the initiates, carefully guard against the 10 offenses, starting with this one, considering the name of Krishna to be himself, instead of considering the name of Krishna to be a material vibration. As, for example, one of the offenses is to consider the names of Krishna to be one of the Karmakanda rituals found within the Vedas. So what does that mean? Karmakanda rituals are for the purpose of material elevation. And there's this practice, that mantra, these rituals that increase your piety so that you can prosper in this life and the next life. Go to heaven. And to consider the name of Krishna like that is not only not right, it's an offense. So to avoid that offense, you go to the place of the name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. It takes some cultivation because we're used to a material sound vibration where the object and the name of the object are different. But this is not the case. So now I'm going to go to Canto 11, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 21, and I invite those of you that like to read Bhagavatam to take some time and read it. It's Krishna speaking to Uddhava. It's the Uddhava Gita section of the Bhagavatam, where Krishna is giving Uddhava, who is topmost scholar, and therefore the level of their discussion is high. It's not entry-level discussion. And Krishna is giving Uddhava a picture in sound of the Vedic process. That's the title of the chapter, the Vedic process. So we hear from the Vedas that the Vedas exist before creation, during creation, and after annihilation. They're eternal. As eternal as Narayana is eternal, the Vedas are co-eternal. So are we. The soul is co-eternal. It's fully spiritual. And those Vedic sound vibrations, they deal with a whole range of subject matters, including these Karmakanda things down here, and then the totally transcendental things over here. And things in between. So I'm not going to go through the detail of chapter 21, but one of the rules of leadership that those that teach leadership teach, and those that are leaders, they follow. Give credit where credit is due, just like giving credit to Satyasar for hours and hours and hours and all the other people. I mean, one of the amazing things of this event is how well organized the activities for the children are. I mean, those of you that are parents, dream, close your eyes and dream of something that's wonderful, and here it is. And just even this year, teenage boys and teenage girls has been added. I think it's one of the things that brings people back again year after year is their kids say, let's go to the Gita Nagari retreat. We had such a great time. Even it rained. I saw Dhruva Prabhu, our temple president, as I was exiting yesterday, and he was over underneath one of the tents where it was raining, while it was raining. And I said, Krishna is very kind. It was going to be that the prediction was lots of rain, and it was so mild. And Dhruva said he didn't hear that Say Yes to Krishna class. So he said, yeah, but the kids were going out for this nice hike or some excursion yesterday evening, and the rain came and they had to come back. Yes, but the prediction was so, it was rain every day, heavy rain every day, rain and rain and rain. So, lots of appreciation for the devotees that have been engaged in taking care of, not taking care of the children like babysitting, but giving activities that are in the association of others, their age, and something they can relate to, and putting Krishna in the center somehow. Even playing cricket, I guess you can put Krishna in the center. I don't even know how to play cricket. I'm glad I don't. I don't want to learn. So, I lost my train of thought. Appreciation for those who are making sacrifice for Krishna is part of our devotional life. And, when Krishna is at the center, then we should see that which is spiritual as spiritual and go beyond seeing that which is not. The Vedas have all this, yes, that's it. The Vedas have all this range of dealing even with the basic affairs. So we're used to, I'm just going to give credit where credit is due. There we go. Seated over here is a nice devotee from the George Mason University, who read a Bhagavad Gita because one devotee kindly gave her a Bhagavad Gita and a light went on. This is it. This is what I've been looking for however many years old she is. And very quickly, because of her eagerness to learn, eagerness to want to know about consciousness specifically, we had this discussion about how sound affects consciousness. So she wrote a little paper on how sound affects consciousness, and all of you that registered will get a copy in your email box. And if you didn't register, please register so we can give you a copy in the email box. And we can also break even with this event. And so one of the sections of this little document that you'll get describes Chapter 21, Canto 11, where Krishna's outlining the Vedic process. And the Vedic process is based on sound. And he identifies there's four categories of Vedic sound, aside from mundane sound that's abundant in this world. There's Vedic sound vibration that it's as eternal as Krishna is. And way over here on this end is Vaikari sound, and that's the sound that's carried in ether that we're used to hearing. And there's then way over the other end is Para sound. And Para sound is the sound of Krishna's name and the Brahma Samhita prayers and everything that's of the fully spiritual nature. There's non-difference between the sound and the object that the sound is describing. Then way over on this end is there's no connect, it's conventional only. That a sound, let's say chair. You know, in some other language or some other culture, they have a different word for chair. So the chair, the word, the sound is a symbol of something, but the sound and the object are totally different. That's Vaikari sound. There's Para sound, and there's two other kinds in between, where there's a greater connection between the sound and the object. And then there's the sound and the object are strongly connected, and then there's the absolute position. So it's an offense to think that the name, this Para sound, is the same as regular sound. You know, the sound that we can hear this Para sound, but it doesn't require any intellectual, is Prabhupada's word, any intellectual adjustment. Like, what does it mean to interpret it or something or other? Just hear it. Now, there can be an explanation of what it is. That's fine. And that may enhance your hearing. But the essence is hearing, because the object and the sound vibration are non-different. So the whole of the Vedic process, which is chapter 21, is to carry one through sound, depending upon your evolution or your trajectory of spiritual evolution, up to the stage of entering into the realm of transcendence through sound. That's the whole purpose of creation. Because we find in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, along with creation, I presented this process of sacrifice. It's within the Vedas. That's what the Vedas is. And so there's the sacrifice of the hearing process of para shabda, or opurusheya shabda, or transcendental messages that come from the spiritual realm that tell us what that spiritual realm is. All, you just have to hear it with little aptitude or desire. I'd like to know. Nothing more. Not belief or disbelief. Just, I'd like to know. Here's this interesting sound. Let me hear. Within that act of initial hearing, there's some faith, because otherwise some people don't want to hear. They run the other way. But just to hear, there's some faith, and that faith becomes nurtured or nourished by sound. So we give a special emphasis to the name, because that's the pinnacle of this para. Within the name is everything. Nijasarva Shaktis. Within the name of Krishna is all of Krishna's potencies. That's a lot of potency. Because there's everything spiritual and everything material that's unlimited, and both ends, spiritual and material, and it's all within Krishna's name. That's really power-packed. And those potencies are meant to reveal Him. Vedaishcha sayavair aham eva vejo, according to Bhagavad Gita. The purpose of the Vedas is to know Him. And you can't know Him without being in your relationship with Him. Being in a relationship of bhakti, a loving, at least attempting to please Krishna through the activities that we do that may be of this world. So the Vedas give the direction, the codes of conduct, how to do those things that we have tendency to do in such a way we'll elevate our consciousness and ultimately to the stage of full absorption in para, transcendental sound. So that's the message this morning. Say yes to Krishna, ultimately in the form of His holy name. And side by side with Krishna's holy name is the sound of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is explicitly about Krishna, but it includes all kinds of nice things about Krishna, including Vedic sacrifices and karmakanda activities and the process of creation and all kinds of stuff within, because they're aspects of Krishna. That's why it's there. And it's meant to bring our attention to the source and appreciate how wonderful is that source. How loving is that source? How kind is that source? Let me take shelter there. So this enhances that, and that enhances this, and there, it's a perfect companion. The gift of our founder Acharya is to give us the name, because that was the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Yuga Dharma, chanting the name, and to help us access the name, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, to come to the stage of Shuddha Nam, Shuddha Bhakti, unmixed. Shuddha means no mix of the temporary affinity for the temporary. While we're doing things of this world where it's not of this world, that's our life. So say yes to Krishna in the form of His name, and the sound. Now, just one other thing. This part of the 10 offenses. One of the 10 offenses is to, as mentioned, to equalize the other portions of the Vedas with the holy name. However, there's another rendering of the Sanskrit which says, you should not criticize the other portions of the Vedas that are not of this para standard of sound, because the other portions of the Vedas, they're there to elevate. So while recognizing their purpose, we don't criticize them. They're to assist persons to come to that ultimate stage. So that's another rendering of that offense. Don't criticize the Vedas. It's not an ordinary sound. It's part of the Vedic sound. It's elevating sound because it's eternal from Lord Narayana to help the living entity navigate their way through this dark place with light. And the bright light, the brightest of that bright light is the Srimad Bhagavatam, according to the scriptures that we hear from our acharyas. So we recognize the relative weight or significance of these different portions of the Vedas, and we honor them, the different portions of the Vedas, for their respective purposes. Say yes to Krishna's name and say yes to spiritual sound, and by doing so gradually, by hearing carefully with as much attention as we can, hearing with not just doing, but hearing as much as fully as we can. Rapt attention is Prabhupada's language. Hearing the Bhagavatam and hearing the name. We'll be able to see Krishna. Not become Krishna, but we can be in our relationship with, intimately in our relationship with him. So this is the initiation process that entitles the devotee to or be recognized as part of Krishna's family. And so a name of Krishna or Krishna's family is given for their devotees who are going to be initiated. Those of you that have not seen this, and vows are taken, the commitment along with the acceptance. All the elements of standard scriptural elements are here, including the sacrificial arena in the middle of the floor. It's a Vedic process that we're following, process of initiation. So, I think we'll go to the vows. It's already 9:05. I think what I'll do is there's two families and there's other individuals, and I'll speak to the individuals. Svetadvipa is seated in the middle in the back, and he's going to receive his Gayatri mantra and then be eligible to do deity worship in the Houston temple, and he's looking forward to that. So we won't call his name because later he'll receive Gayatri mantra. With the other individuals, I'm going to, where's our portable microphone? Paramarupa, could you, we're going to invite one person to speak something about the candidates, and he's going to speak something about Yuli.
Hare Krishna.
Is it on? Sabal, is it on? Go ahead and speak.
So, first of all, I was very fortunate to witness the rapid transformation that happens when will meets grace. Like, that's what one of the things that I heard in this whole seminar. But I saw that manifestation in the life of Yuli. I met Yuli in her last year.
Last semester.
Last semester.
Of her last.
She came to Northeastern University program and...
Undergraduate. I'm editing so that the audience can understand. I'm sorry.
And my meeting her happened just, practically speaking, 1 week before Maharaj's coming to Northeastern University. And I was also very eager to share with Maharaj that I met a very sincere individual. Very interestingly, in that meeting, Maharaj invited her to participate in Brahma Samhita seminar that was about to happen in Seattle. And I was wondering, wow. And not only that, she was invited, she had already booked her flight to go there when I came to know. And then, in this way I found every single opportunity that came her way, she was very eager, very sincere, very serious to take upon that opportunity for elevation in Krishna consciousness. And on the side of Guru Maharaj, he had bestowed innumerable occasions or innumerable amount of time he has spent to work with her, whatever is necessary for her to get out of the blocks that are coming her way. And because Guru Maharaj has also mentioned to me personally that how dear Yuli is to him, so we also from our side did certain things which we probably would never do for any other devotee. And overall I found that because of the eagerness on her side and because of the mercy that she was receiving from the spiritual master, this is the most rapid progress that I've ever seen in the life of a devotee. And from her side, also, her conceptions had been always very clear. And at every point in time, she had been developing very, very strong relationship with her spiritual master. And that also came out very clearly when she took disciples course with me. Although she was junior most in terms of the number of years in her Krishna consciousness, she scored the highest marks. Now, of course, like... I'm emphasizing on this just to indicate like how clear her conceptions were, even though she has spent very short time in Krishna consciousness. I'm sorry, Yuli, for embarrassing you too much. At the same time, I'm very sad that in a month's time she would be leaving for her personal reasons. But at the same time, my support, well wishes and prayers would be always there with her.
I'm going to edit one more thing. For her graduate study at Brandeis University, she stayed in Paramarupa's home along with his wife and two children, at least for a while, until her mom and dad came to visit her. She found another place to stay for a while because mom and dad might not... feel so good about that. Which one are your beads? There we go. Okay. Her next destination is New Zealand. She's a very adventurous young lady. And she'll be staying at their ashram to get immersed in training in Krishna consciousness. I don't know how mom and dad are going to take that, but they're okay. So and so, so. So, happy to have you join Krishna's family. Could you come before Srila Prabhupada over here and offer your obeisances? You're next. Just get ready. Mentally. quite a glowing appreciation from Paramarupa, huh? Later you can tell me all the nice things about Paramarupa. And how he and his wife helped in your Krishna consciousness. And then the next group of people that will help, the next group of people. Krishna has been providing resources for you again and again, like magically. So Krishna has affection for you too. That's clear. Okay, so how many rounds you'll chant every day?
16
rounds. And the rules that you'll follow? Very good. And you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings. Yes. Your initiated name is Ujjwala Devidasi.
Ujjwala Devidasi Mataji ki jai.
Ujjwala means full of dazzling splendor. And sometimes our acharyas also use that term to indicate the conjugal rasa or madhurya rasa, ujjwala rasa, full of dazzling splendor. So, Ramtulsi, where are you? Ramtulsi? Ah, can you give her the microphone, please? She's going to say something about her friend from Seattle.
Hare Krishna. I have known Mataji for almost 5 years now. And I can tell about her. She is a very enthusiastic and regulated devotee. She loves Srimad Bhagavatam. She loves to talk about Krishna. You start any conversation with her and she'll make sure Krishna is there in that conversation. If the conversation goes off topic, she will bring it back to Krishna. She will make sure to bring it back to Krishna. She is the regular attendee of Sankirtan. She goes every week without fail. Every week she'll be there for hours and hours. She's an inspiration for all of us at Seattle. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Her husband is here also. He wanted to go to Sadhu Sangha retreat. There was a discussion about coming here instead, and he very supportive of his good wife making this step in Krishna consciousness. So I'm very happy that he came to give that support. Thank you. Yes. Okay. So your vows, the how many rounds you chant on these nice beads every day? Okay, and the rules that you'll follow? Okay. And you'll very carefully follow the teachings of our founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada, yeah? Okay, your initiated name is Sneha Vali Devidasi.
Sneha Vali Devidasi Mataji ki jai!
Pragya, next. Pragya, come pay obeisances. Sneha means affection. And Vali means creeper, the creeper of affection. Nice name for her, right? Sneha Vali. So, I can speak something about Pragya, but then others that don't have me speaking about that person may feel, oh, I do. So, would you like to see something about your lovely daughter? She's Should I ask your husband to say something about your love? You? No? Okay, I'll say something about your lovely daughter. I've known this family for 10 years. So, way back when I first met the family, I was visiting in Minneapolis where the family lived, and Pragya was 6 years old, and I don't know where she got the idea, but she said, "Can I be initiated?" And I asked her, "How many rounds are you chanting?" She said, "Six." So I said, "Well, how about this? When's your next birthday, such and such? So when you turn seven, you chant seven rounds. And when you turn, and just add one round every year until you're 16, and then you can be initiated." So you know what? That's what she did. She's 16, taking vows of initiation for the rest of her life. But anyone that's done like that, I can understand. It's not, plus I know Pragya, it's not the mind. It's the heart. Her heart is with Krishna, and her mother shares with me how her heart is with Krishna and in speaking clearly the message of devotion to the family members. You know how it is in families, but, you know, without the detail. I was hoping she would say that. It's not an uncommon thing in Krishna conscious families that the children are so devotional, it inspires the parents. It's not an uncommon thing. Of course, the parents are also quite devotional in this particular family. But she's an inspiration, certainly for the family and for me. She is a wonderful devotee. So. Ten years later. How many rounds you'll chant every day for the rest of your life?
Minimum 16.
And the four rules that you'll follow? Okay. You're not even nervous. Most young people are nervous at this. Very strong. So good. And you'll carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings for the rest of your life, yes?
Yes.
Your initiated name is Rasamayi Devi Dasi.
Rasamayi Devi Dasi Mataji Ki Jai.
Could you two go, Sheshadri and Mataji? Rasamayi means very sweet. Or full of nectar, full of rasa, rasamayi. Devidasi. So, Shankadari, where are you? Can you take the microphone, please? It's nice to have more than one person speak something, but we have too many somebodies, so we're doing it this way.
Hare Krishna. I met Seshadri Prabhu first time at workplace in 2005, I believe, 2005 or 2006. He was a typical Indian. He was criticizing Krishna for that and this. During the lunch time and break time, and then things changed. He changed his job, and I didn't see him for quite some time until 2011, I believe. In 2011, again, I met him at the temple, Potomac Temple, literally in tears. As soon as he saw me, he immediately said, I really need someone to guide me in my life. I need a guru. I was crying, and very next week Maharaj was coming to Premataringini Mataji's home. We had a home program and we invited him. I think that's when he changed his life. And soon both of them, he brought his wife also into Krishna consciousness and gradually progressing. Lot of transformation from where he was to where he is today. Lot of progress, but a lot of transformation happened in these years in relationships and submission. One thing about him is that he need to be always engaged in service, otherwise he can't be peaceful. That's a very tough time. Thank you.
Right. Speak something about his wife. Who's going to do that? Oh, your wife. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, I've known Raji. First Sheshadri Prabhu came to our Bhakti Vriksha. And she was not interested because she was into some yogic thing. That time she used to work. So I used to make sure that, you know, just send some prasadam with Prabhu to her. Then she felt obliged to having that prasadam, you know, every week. And just to come and see me. Then in that way she came, and the next she liked it, you know, the devotees and association. And the next week slowly she just came, and she just got into Krishna consciousness, and she's happy, very open-minded, and always looks for any corrections, you know, always asks for, you know, how can I grow. I'm happy to assist her in her Krishna consciousness for myself to grow.
Hare Krishna. Okay, so initiation vows, it's already 9:25. Well, I don't even ask the other questions. You just got the answer. Keep going. The four rules that you follow are?
Minimum 16 rounds of chanting.
Yeah.
No intoxication, no drinking, no gambling.
What's the other one? Ah, okay. Okay. And you'll carefully follow Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Very good. Your initiated name is Sakshi Gopal Das.
Sakshi Gopal Das Prabhu Ki Jai.
For those of you that are new here, Sakshi Gopal is a wonderful deity with a long story found in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sakshi means witness. The deity walked all the way from Vrindavan to the other side of the country to support and bear witness to the vow of his dear devotee Brahman, Sakshi Gopal, and is now being worshipped there. Previously residing in Vrindavan, now in Orissa, near Puri. Okay. Okay. And like your good husband, you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings for the rest of your life. Initiated name is Raga Manjari Devi Das.
Raga Manjari Devi Dasi Mataji Ki Jai.
This name, Raga Manjari, is the name that Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was in Krishna Leela. We have that information from Chaitanya Charitamrita and Gauragona Deshtipika. Raga Manjari. And last but not least, Raman. Raksha, come. Where is Narottam? And you be ready also, please. Where is Narottam? Who's, your voice is not good. Narottam? Okay. We have his substitute. Ramchandra over here. Over by the Vyasa-san.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, Ram and Aksha, they're part of the Tawako, New Jersey congregation. It was a couple of years back when I was giving a Sunday class. That was the first time they came to Tawako. And right after the class, they came and approached me. Raksha was one of them who had a big smile on her face, always smiling.
Always.
And Ram was totally opposite, very grave. So I wasn't sure about my class. Was it a good class or was it a bad class? But since then, they have been part of our Bhakti Vriksha programs, which I'm leading there. They have been part of the Prabhupada Sena program, which is every Wednesday program, which Narottam Prabhu has been leading. They're part of our Sunday feast program, Sunday feast cooking. They've been part of our Sankirtan department, going out distributing books and kirtans. The first things that I remember Ram asked that, what is the foundation? Prabhuji, please in a nutshell, if you could tell us what we should be doing. And I said, keep it very simple. Come to temple on Sundays, attend your Bhakti Vriksha programs. During the class, be in the class. When there's kirtan, be in the kirtans. Don't be outside when somebody's speaking.
Hmm.
And since then, and there's been many instructions, like whenever I get a call from Ram Prabhu during the work time, I usually close my office door, I go into conference room because I know he has a question. He's always asking questions, but whatever answers he gets, he puts into his life. He practically applies it. That's the greatness about the couple. And Raksha also very, very enthusiastic. They have been all over the place, been traveling to many, many temples, serving in many large capacities. And I'm very happy to be here today. I saw them the first day today at their initiations. May Krishna bless them. Maybe Maharaj, can I ask my wife to say a few words for Raksha?
Yeah, you want who to?
My wife.
Sure. Fantastic. Take it over there. Raise your hand so he knows who you are. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. We are so happy for both of them today. But Ram and Raksha, they have been part of our Bhakti Vriksha and also Tawako congregation for past 3 to 4 years now. And I've seen her going ups and downs in her life, but they always wanted to be with devotees. They never left devotee association. And that's what kept her going. And it was like at one point it was not turning back. She just looked ahead, and today she's taking initiation. So we are very proud of both of them. Especially about Raksha, that she's been, everybody knows here, but she's always been enthusiastic in Bhakti Vriksha, in temple. So even if we are down, when we look at her, we get, you know, charged up. So, you know, she's very inspiring to a lot of our Bhakti Vriksha members. And she's a very good cook. She serves and cooks in the temple for the deities. And very good with kids also, takes care of very, you know, happy and enthusiastic with kids also. We are very happy that, you know, she's taking initiation today. Very happy for her. I'm sure she must be missing her mother and sisters also, but we are there as her family. So we just want to welcome her in this Krishna Conscious big family. Hare Krishna.
Seated right behind you with glasses is Sri Radhika. And I think I saw her eyebrow go up when you said she's really good with kids, because she's in charge of the children's program over here. Let's see what happens at next year's event. She may have some added service next year. Let's see. Although she loves to hear, she's right in front always, and as Ramchandra said, big smile. I've seen her cry too, but mainly it's big smile. Okay. Ram. So, how many rounds you'll chant every day for the rest of your life? Minimum 16. The rules that you'll follow?
No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex.
And you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings as best you can for your life long. Initiated name is Rama Sharana Das.
Rama Sharana Das Prabhu Ki Jai.
Sharana is right on the theme of what we've been doing this weekend, is saying yes to Krishna. So we can say yes to Ram, that's okay too. Raksha. How many rounds you'll chant every day for the rest of your life? Strong, minimum 16. And the four rules that you'll follow?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling.
Okay. And like your good husband, you'll carefully follow Prabhupada's teachings. Look at her big smile, isn't it nice? Your initiated name is Rukmavati Devi Dasi.
Rukmavati Devi Dasi Mataji Ki Jai.
You can go back. Rukmavati was the wife of Pradyumna, who was Krishna's son, and Pradyumna and Rukmavati became the father and mother of Aniruddha. Those are two of the Chaturvyuha forms of the Lord in Dwarka. That's Mama over there.